Hi. Every year we do this show about the Song of the Summer, and it's predicated on the notion that there is one Song of the Summer, a single song, one song to rule them all, one song to bind them. Last year it was just absolutely Despacito. One year, not too long ago, it was absolutely Call Me Maybe. Sometimes there's kind of a dogfight, like between Blurred Lines and Get Lucky One Summer, but usually at the end of the summer we can say, either based on Billboard metrics or just the zeitgeist, yes, that was the Song of the Summer. Frequently, nobody understands this idea. It's very hard to explain it to people. So unusually, this year, we have an intern here who right away, when I mentioned that we were going to do this show, knew exactly what I was talking about and turns out to listen to way more pop music than is probably good for her. And that's Zandra Ellen. She's sitting right next to me. So you know this Song of the Summer thing. That's not an alien concept to you.
Yeah, I don't think that my friends and I really like talk about songs as songs of the summer, but I can absolutely look back and know that Despacito was the song of the summer, although I feel like Bodak Yellow was probably a contender last summer. But
no, nothing. It was a steamroller.
Not at all.
It was a steamroller. It was like the Call Me Maybe year. Nothing could stand up to it. There are years that it's a little jumbly and it's harder to figure out. But
yeah.
And this, by the way, and when our panel joins us in a few seconds, you're going to see it's a wide open year.
Yeah.
Not a prohibitive favorite sitting out there. So you, being young, had a dream. And it was a dream involving a particular song becoming the Song of the Summer. Let's just play a little of that song, and then you can tell us about it.
Took you like a shot, thought that I could chase you with a cold evening. Let a couple years water down how I'm feeling about you. And every time we talk, every single word builds up to this moment. And I gotta convince myself I don't want it even though I do. You could break my heart in two. But when it heals, it beats for you. I know it's forward, but it's true. I wanna hold you when I'm not supposed to. When I'm lying close to someone else, you're stuck in my head. And I can get you out of it if I could do it all again.
All right. I wish we could play more of it, but we ran out of time. Let the record show that Zandra Ellen was doing a moderate amount of chair dancing during the chair swaying.
It's so easy. Yeah. How can you listen to that song and not chair dance?
So tell people about the song and the artist.
Okay, so that song is Back to You by Selena Gomez. Yeah, I feel like it's fun, it's poppy, it's kind of sentimental, it feels very summer to me. It reminds me of, like, you know, driving down the countryside with your windows down and you're all singing along to the fun pop song of the summer.
Right. I think it's got a lot of what we look for in a song of the summer. I mean, Selena Gomez, although she's not a new artist, she's not so established as to be. She's not Beyonce. All right. So she can be a voice of summer 2018 because she doesn't have so much accumulated baggage. And the song, you know, you obviously can dance to that song. Beats per minute sound pretty good and stuff like that. There's just one problem, right? It's falling off the charts.
Yeah, that people don't really seem to know it. It's really interesting. Yeah, I actually, when I first heard it, I was just like instant hit, obviously, to me. And yesterday I actually posted an Instagram poll, is Back to You the Song of the Summer?
Right.
And overwhelmingly, the response was no. Nobody really offered up an alternative, but overwhelmingly, about 70-30, the response was no.
Another problem here, right, is that this song, I mean, we're going to be talking during the show about the sort of repurposing or reuse of certain songs, like get turned into Target commercials or something like this. This didn't get turned into a Target commercial, but it has a problematic association.
Yeah, so this song was used, I guess, in an episode of the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why, which is a very popular show, but also a very controversial show about teen suicide. And so anyone who reached out to me about me suggesting that this could be the song of the summer was reaching out to tell me that they didn't like 13 Reasons Why, because the album artwork for Back to You is the, I guess, the cover art for 13 Reasons Why, the show. I think that negative association is definitely dragging it down. And I wonder to what extent in a Spotify age we are listening with our eyes before we're listening with our ears.
That's a really great point. Timing is important. And sometimes there's a contradiction or a paradox here, which is sometimes if you get on the charts really early and just solidify your grip, as Despacito did last year. That's great. Sometimes if you get on the charts too early and then start to sag a little bit, you're gone. So a lot of spring songs just can't survive until the Song of Summer. All right, it's time to get the main show, part of the show started. Xandra Ellen, great radio debut. We'll be having you on tomorrow to talk about the Connecticut primaries.
Oh, no.
No, just kidding. All right, here we go.
Way back way, you know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away. Even when I'm away, OT, OT. There's never much love when we go OT. I pray to make it back. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito.
All right, those are some of the songs of the summer of the past. Joining us now, we had a few problems with the New York studio connection, but I think we got it straightened out now. The commissioner of the Song of the Summer, Brendan J. Sullivan, he is crowned every year at Memorial Day and then killed on Labor Day, only to rise again. It's like the golden bough. It's like some pagan ritual. He is the commissioner of the Song of the Summer, a writer, producer, DJ, best known for his work with Lady Gaga. You can read about that in his first book, Rivington Was Ours. And his Every Song of the Summer series has garnered over 52 million video views online. Also joining us is Robin Kanner, a writer, designer, co-founder of My Trans Health, living in Brooklyn, New York. And I think a little bit later, I don't think he's here yet, Chuck Chillout, a legendary writer, producer, and DJ from the Bronx. Xandra's going to help us out also a little bit more later as we go on here. So, Brendan, we've already established in the intro some of the rules here, but maybe you want to lay down a few of them just to remind
people.
Sure.
You know, I always say that the good song of the summer, and I'm like a summertime nationalist. I love summer. I love everything about it. And song of the summer is like the one thing you can't plan, you can't predict. It just comes at you, which is why I say that it has a lot in common with summer romance. And summer romance is things like, you know, it's love at first sight. So with the song of the summer, you know, right when you hear it, you go like, I like this, or I don't like this, or I want it. This moves me. And when you keep in mind that, like, romance factor, you keep in mind the fact that, like, during summertime, you know, like, imagine some summer teen movie. You know, you're not falling for the popular kids in high school. You're finding something all on your own and discovering it for yourself for the first time. And that's what I like to keep in mind when we talk about Song of the Summer, because the third rule of Song of the Summer in my mind is that it really is just a fling. Like, you don't want to be Song of the Summer. You don't find your life partner in Song of the Summer. It's just supposed to be fun. It's not a commitment for the rest of your life. And usually it's like, so when it's Drake, it might be the only Drake song that your mom likes, but it is the one she does like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The other rule of Song of the Summer is don't team up with Calvin Harris. I don't really know why that is, but somebody teams up with Calvin Harris every year and it doesn't work. This year it's Dua Lipa and she's just not going to have the Song of the Summer, which is sort of too bad because she's really, Brendan, kind of at the point in her career where she could, right? As we were sort of saying, Xandra and I were saying in the intro, once you're really, really famous for like everything, it's harder, although Drake overcame this, it's harder to be famous for the Song of the Summer because there's a way in which you really have to be located in the summer of 2018 as opposed to this huge overshadowing presence.
Yeah, I think Justin Bieber's a good example of that. Sorry could have been Song of the Summer. It just kind of came and went a little too early. And we've talked about this before. You know, Justin Bieber is the reason that Call Me Maybe went from local Canadian radio to melting our faces off that entire summer. And also the same thing with Despacito. Despacito was Song of the Summer in South America during what we call the winter, when they have summer there. He heard it, he saw the crowd go nuts, and he's like, I need to be a part of this. But even he, Justin Bieber, couldn't be Song of the Summer. The Despacito without him is the version that went Song of the Summer last year.
Right, because also in South America, they're upside down, the blood rushes to their heads.
Yeah.
They're dizzy all the time. So, so I'm going to play the song which numerically right now would seem to stand the best chance, and people will notice some of its similarities to Despacito, at least in terms of being very Latinized. And then Robin and Brendan are going to comment a little bit. This is a multi-artist track, but for purposes of brevity right now, we'll say it's I Like It by Cardi B and others.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can't. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali. Ferrari, hop up the stoop, jump in the coupe.
So, you know, Robin, I used to, when I first met Brendan, I worked at a radio station where the studio next door was a hip-hop station, and they used to have a feature called Crunk It or Chunk It. And I always had to, I always had to remember really carefully which one was the good one. That was good. Crunk was good, Chunk was bad. So I know we could sort of do that with this, Robin. I don't know, Song in the Summer or too much of an attempt to draft off Despacito?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm full on Cardi B. I think it's a great song. I don't know if it's a song of the summer, but I still love it, and I appreciate what she's been doing. So it's a great song. Has a good beat.
So, but Brendan, sometimes the gods punish you for calculation, right?
The naked ambition. You know, it's like the Hillary Clinton problem. Like, you just want it too bad that it just can't come to you. And, you know, Robin and I are both New Englanders, and I think when I see my parents hear a song like this that heavily samples something they already know is a hit, to them it's almost a waste of a song.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean,
really?
Because last year I think about that band Portugal the Man, who sort of snuck through with Feel It Still, and they were riffing off the Marvettes the whole time, and parents jammed to that every single day.
Really?
I think that's the tactic to actually make a great song.
Huh.
Well, that is the I mean, you're right that we live in the era of great dance music that way, in the sense that Bruno Mars and Pharrell Williams, and for that matter, Mark Ronson, and, you know, I mean, they create music that sounds contemporary, but it's also completely acceptable to people as decrepit as I am. so, like, it's sort of dad dancing, you know, but you can also be cool doing it. I think
that's a magic about Song of the Summer, is that, we, you know, summer's for everybody. It's not just for the young. I mean, there's all of our experiences and feelings, you know, are the things that remind us of being a kid again, going back to that beach, getting the ice cream, getting the candy that's not good
for
you. And hearing music just pronounced to you coming out of every car that passes you. It's like part of summer, but, you know, summer is for all of us.
Exactly.
All right. So actually, Wolfie, I'm going to switch the order a little bit. I mean, if you can pull up the middle now, can you do that? Okay. So this is the commissioner. Brendan Sullivan has thrown his considerable weight behind this song, at least for now. Let's play a little bit of it, and then Brendan can tell us a little bit more about it.
Take a seat, right over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
All right, I just want to say personally, I am going to be an old person attending a young person's Labor Day weekend wedding in Newport. And I'll be cool if that's the song of the summer and I'm out there dancing to it. I'll do my dad dancing. So Brendan, tell us about the artist. This is another kind of, this is one of the many team-ups that's out there, right?
This is a good team-up. This is Zed, who's a young producer. And also, using a country music singer, I think, is a good open move, sort of like a Taylor Swift move, you know, on behalf of the country. You know, this movie is like the, it's like the, the song is like the version of like that hot buttered popcorn movie. It's like Jaws or Back to the Future or Independence Day. You just like, you don't have to say it's your favorite of all time, but in the summer when it's hot, when there's free AC, yeah, this is what you want to jam out to.
Mm. All right, Robin, you're next, but I'm also going to go to Zandra on this too, since she's an actual, true, genuine, certified young person. But Robin, you go ahead.
I feel really good about this song. I mean, the beat flows really nice. It almost stutters in a way that catches me. Mm. And I think that has a lot of value, especially when I'm listening to something on radio and I just hear it differently than what's playing. So I love it for that moment.
Right. I like it because I have arthritis in my knees. And so if I, you know, I can actually sort of time my movements to the stutter
a little bit. Yeah.
It'll almost seem intentional. Like that's the way
that's an accessible song. That's how you know.
That's right.
It's arthritis. This is a fun song to play for someone for the first time, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You can watch them move to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear what Zandra has to say.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with everything that's been said about this song. In fact, when I asked a couple of people, college age folks yesterday, what they thought the song of the summer was, they did say it would be the middle. I figured at this point it would have been out for too long for it to continue being the song of the summer, but it seems to have still retained at least some of its traction, although we were talking a little bit earlier about how it's starting to lose that.
It's got, yes. I mean, numerically, yes. I mean, yes, songs, Brendan, are either bulldogs or their terriers. If they're bulldogs like Despacito or Call Me Maybe, they get their jaws sunk into the charts in April and you just can't pry them off no matter what.
Yeah.
And also true kind of with Fancy. And then sometimes they're terriers. They just like nip a little bit like Selena Gomez and then they're gone.
Mm. Yeah, Omi was definitely that.
Yeah. So we have to sort of just figure out which one this is. And Brendan, one question I have is, if you just look at the charts and look at the numbers, and Billboard has these incredibly complicated metrics that now combine streaming with, you know, airplay and all kinds of stuff. I don't know, but how much of a slave to that must we ultimately be?
That's such a good point, because like it's like in finance, you know, they have these people called quants who just stare at charts all day. And if the chart's going up, they say, hey, it's going to go up. And if it goes down, they say, hey, it's starting to go down. And it's in reality, someone did a study about this, actually. It's just as good as a coin toss. Like if you just stare at the charts and you're like, oh, it's moving, so obviously this is a popular song, you're just as likely right as you are wrong.
Right.
Literally me when I'm writing a tweet.
So, you know, just to go back to the quant thing for a second. So if we were going to be quants about this, the number one song in the country right now is a very, very unlikely song of the summer. It's by somebody who was recently murdered. He himself was not a particularly nice person, although in many ways he also summed up a kind of new Thanatos-oriented stream of hip-hop. This is sort of a Kurt Cobain-influenced hip-hop artist, almost. His name is XXXTentacion. His song is called Sad. It's number one on the charts. We're going to play a little bit of it and then just talk about whether this is such a grim summer that this could be the song in the summer.
Someone that's afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. Who am I? Someone that's afraid to let go. You decide if you're ever gonna let me know. Yeah, suicide if you ever try to let go. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I'm sad, I know, yeah. I gave her everything. She took my heart and left me lonely.
Okay, so Robin, if this turned out to be the song of the summer, we're in a lot of trouble.
It's a complex song, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, we would almost just have to, you know, hang a closed sign on American
on songs.
Just like, yeah, we're done.
I think it's an interesting song. I mean, his whole career is pretty fascinating and short and tragic and complex is sort of the best way to use it. It's a great hook. Whenever we sort of lose somebody early who's especially done something that we don't agree with or we think it's wrong, and this is certainly a case of that, I always sort of think to myself, like, you know, what would they have done in 10 years? Mm. So it's hard to revel in the moment of a loss because you never know. But it's an interesting song. It's a grim song.
Yeah. Let me think. Like, what's the last, you know, club banger, like Born to Run is the last song that opens with suicide in the first verse, you know? Like, it's so unlikely that it could be likely for the song of the summer,
sure.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you decided we were incredibly sad and this is the dark, horrible time in American history and we wanted a song.
Okay. Not unprecedented. So 1983 would have been about this far into the Reagan administration, you know, as we are as far from that as we are in the current administration. And that was the year Every Breath You Take by the Police, you know, like a dark, sad song really took over. And then in 1997, when Diddy. Biggie Smalls died, Diddy took Song of the Summer with I'll Be Missing You. Mm-hmm. Is that also a Police riff?
Yes.
And yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 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 And we knew we were in trouble because Diddy had the Song of the Summer, too. So you're just, Xandra, you're not having this, are you?
Oh, no. I'm really, like, so deeply, I was so, so upset when I opened Spotify to find that this was the most popular song on the top of the charts. I actually personally think that this is really not a timely song to be topping the charts, particularly with the year that we've had in, like, the, I don't know, XXX, for the listeners that don't know, is, you know, a very controversial figure because he's done a lot of crazy stuff in his lifetime in terms of just some really heinous domestic abuse that he was accused of. And to see the song topping the charts and beating out a lot of phenomenal women artists, Selena Gomez included, but also Cardi B, Ariana Grande, Nicki Minaj, it really kind of makes me sick and sad.
All right. Well, we're going to change the mood. We're going to go to a break.
Sorry.
But as we go to the break, we're going to play a song that was well poised a few weeks ago, but seems to be dropping. Seems unlikely that he could have a repeat. So we'll just play a few seconds here of Nice For What by Drake.
Louisiana. Murder on the beat. Something for y'all to cut up to, you know? Yeah. Everybody get your roll on. I know shorty and she doesn't want no slow song. Had a man last year, life goes on. Haven't let the thing loose, girl, in so long. You been inside, know you like to lay low. I've been peeping what you bringing to the table. Working hard, girl, everything paid for. First, last phone bill, car, no cable.
All right, we're back. We're going to do a little bit more talk about this, a lot more talk about the Song of the Summer. And so, Robin, we got some suggestions from you. Oh, I should sort of reset and say who's here. So the commissioner of the Song of the Summer is Brendan J. Sullivan, writer, producer, and DJ. And joining us also is Robin Kanner, writer, designer, co-founder of My Trans Health Living in Brooklyn, New York. In the studio with me is actual certified young person, Xandra Ellen. We rented her for the day, had to have a young person. So Robin, one of the ideas that you suggested was by Kanye West. I mean, so Kanye West has the problem that we've described before, right? There's just so much built up around Kanye West that it's hard for him. It's hard for him to be specific to any moment. But explain, before we play a little bit of the song, why you think it could work.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kanye is always Kanye, and it's never a person that you can count out. As far as the song that I chose, which is Wouldn't Leave, he has me there, like, metaphorically. I mean, the song is sort of about how everything that happened with TMZ and sort of the Trump stuff, how Kim sort of stuck by his side. But metaphorically to people, too, I feel like I wouldn't leave him. Like, there were so many opportunities for me to just be like, that's it. Like, I'm not going to be a Kanye fan, even though, like, 808s and Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy sort of, like, owned my world for a really long time. But when I heard him just, like, sing out, like, I don't feel that she's mine enough, I almost felt like he was saying, like, I don't feel like the people who listen, like, I have their voice enough. And that sort of just emotionally resonated with me. But he's right. I mean, I wouldn't leave his records, even though there were so many opportunities with so many sort of complicated things that he said that I don't agree with, but sonically he had me.
So many opportunities to leave Kanye.
There's so many. He gave me so many, but I wouldn't leave him.
All right, let's play a little bit of the song.
I don't feel that she's mine enough. God, I feel I couldn't have you wind up. With a fly in my wrist, you made pretty women out of my skin. And I don't feel like, man, I know you ain't leave. They said build your own, I said halfway. I said slavery a choice, they said hi, yay. Just imagine if they caught me on a wild day. Now I'm on 50 blogs, getting 50 calls. My wife calling, screaming, say we about to lose it all. Had to calm her down cause she couldn't breathe.
Told her she could leave me now, but she wouldn't
and
leave.
I know you wouldn't.
I like how there's sort of ambient Kardashian noise in the background. Commissioner, one problem here, there isn't really a clear path. I mean, just in terms of how songs get to be Song of the Summer. There may not be any way for this. I agree with Robin about its charms.
I'm convinced now that I've heard Robin talk about it. Yeah. Now, something we say in nightlife a lot is, give me the meat, not the medium. Meaning, like, what am I getting? So don't come up here and tell me about this 11-minute performance you're going to do. Like, is it burlesque? Is it dance? Is it whatever? So with this Kanye song, the second you turn it on, you're like, are we about to dance? Are we going to sway?
We're going to cry.
Are we just going to cry?
We're
yeah.
going to cry. This is a summer of crying.
It takes, like, a good 20 seconds to be like, okay, this is a cry alone in your car song.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to skip from there to... the song, I'm going to put my completely insubstantial weight behind the next song. And Chuck, if he had gotten here, was going to do a little bit of that too. This is by an artist named Ella May. Now that I've listened to the middle a few times, I think the commissioner might be right about it becoming the song in the summer. But I also don't want to seem like this person who doesn't have his own opinions. So I'm going to go with this song called Booed Up. We're going to play a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Feelings so deep in my feelings. Notice they ain't really like me. Can't control my anxiety. Feeling like I'm touching the ceiling. When I'm with you, I can't breathe. Boy, you do something to me.
All right, it's not going to work for the commissioner because it doesn't really sell itself until the hook.
This is a song, and this is why I love being a DJ. You know, this would be the song that I'm playing a pool party in the Hamptons and someone requests, and I'm like, you know, whatever. No one's dancing. Yeah, I'll play something like this. And then the whole room just melts into this, like, music video style orgiastic, everybody needs a date for this dance thing. Just grab the pool guy. Let's go. I need to dance with somebody. This is that kind of song.
Well, that's more reinforcement that I was expecting to get from you.
But you if you hear it like just you know in line at CVS, you won't get that. You need to hear it like in a room where the mood is right. Like the mood needs to come with it.
Yeah.
Which is why I really think that the way we listen to music is more important than the music we listen to.
Mm.
Because when you're young and you're going out, you're going to constantly see that moment happening where you see someone cute across the room and then the song comes on and they lose their mind and you're like, "Okay, now I like this song."
Right. Oh yeah.
Okay, so the certified young person is not, you're not buying the song, right?
I don't want to talk about this in terms that seem kind of like I'm like a synesthete or something, but the middle makes me see bright yellow and watermelon pink and sky blue, and this song makes me see all of those colors a little bit duller. It just like doesn't feel exactly like summer to me in the same way that
song's
the middle
beige.
Does. Robin, it's a little bit beiger.
Yeah. Robin, you're feeling that same beige thing?
Yeah, I feel very similar to it. I mean, the song is great. I feel really good. I feel like if it's on, I jive to it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't really, nothing about it hooks me in a way that I'm just like, oh, that's the one. I feel if I was experiencing it with somebody, if I was like making out with somebody cute, I'd be like, yeah, this is the song of my summer. But without that experience, it's just like, yeah, it's a cool song.
Yes. Yeah. Pool boy not included.
Yeah. I mean, music needs peaks and valleys like this. This could definitely be the number two song of the entire summer because everybody's just gotten sweaty and dance and now they want to, you know, slow it down
totally.
A little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And there is a number two song of the summer some years. And sometimes what happens is, like, I maintain that in the year of Fancy, you know, Iggy get out in front of the pack. And so there you go. And then in midsummer, All About That Bass dropped. And,
right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And so for August, that was the song of the summer.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, I think that lasted longer in the charts total by the end of it. And that happens frequently.
Right.
Is that the 11 weeks starting in August will have just one chart banger.
But, you know, the game has four quarters. You don't play the first two or three of them, you're, right. you're just not going right. to win. So that's how that goes. All right. So one existential question we could ask ourselves is, let's say that you are one or possibly two all-encompassing titans of show business. You are people who could not possibly be located in merely one summer. Everybody knows your name. Everybody knows the shortened versions of your name. But what if you just, like, repackaged yourself and called yourself the Carters?
Respect on my check. Pay me in equity. Pay me in equity. Watch me reverse out of dicks. He got a bad bitch, bad bitch. We live in lavish, lavish. I got expensive fabrics. I got expensive habits. He wanna go with me. He likes to roll away. He wanna be with me. He wanna give me that vitamin D.
That, of course, is Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. No, we know who that is. So, so I don't know, Robin, just give me your take.
This bops for me. It's like, I don't know, I'm just into it. I feel like we're so blessed to have the summer of good music and the summer of Jay-Z and Beyonce. I love that Beyonce owns the song. It's almost like a feature on Jay-Z for the most part. It flows, it catches me. When it dropped, like, on the internet, I was like, I gotta stop everything. I think it was in the middle of like a movie theater, and I saw it, and I was like, actually, we're only in the preview, so I'm gonna step out. I'm just gonna listen to this really quickly, and then I'm just gonna go back to it. It has me.
In fact, Brendan, Robin was in a CVS line and said, I don't want my prescription.
Yeah, I gotta go, actually.
I want this.
She's been off her meds ever since.
I don't need medication. I got the Carters.
This
is fine.
Saved me.
All right.
Can I just say one thing?
Say one thing.
It just feels a little bit like when your parents talk about their marriage. You know,
what?
It's just
no!
Like,
not even remotely.
Jay-Z and Beyonce had Song of the Summer in 2003 with Crazy in Love, which we all agree is a Beyonce song featuring Jay-Z. Yeah. And it was the tension then between them. You know, are they dating? Is it happening? Is it on? All that stuff.
Yeah,
That's the exciting part of the song. And now it's in the stage of, like, they're almost being house proud about their marriage, which isn't...
I like happy marriages, though.
Oh, well, good for you.
All right, certified young person.
Wow, I had never really thought about it that way. That is really true, especially if I compare this to Crazy in Love. It definitely does feel this way. But I love this song. I think it's so good. I think it's a really nice... I also agree that I think Beyonce definitely leads throughout this entire album. So it feels like a very nice companion to, like, Post Lemonade, which was a lot about kind of dissing Jay-Z. And this feels like a little bit of unrealistic closure.
It does feel a little bit like Brazil playing some kids travel soccer team, though, or something. It's just like, it's not fair. You have too many resources.
Yes.
We'll move on here. So Commissioner, this is one of yours. It's called Meant to Be. We're going to play a little bit of it, and then we'll let you talk us into it.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me. See where this
So not necessarily what we associate with Brendan Sullivan. Although I will say, there's like 8 country songs climbing onto the charts right now. The Hot 100 is kind of vomiting up all the pop and hip-hop that it ingested in the spring, and it's actually bringing in a lot of country. I don't know what's going on with that.
Which is refreshing. I mean, just to give you a visual, Robin and I are both cry slow dancing here in the New York studio.
Literally. Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a mood. I was jabbing.
Yeah.
So, Brendan, tell us about the artist.
I actually don't know a ton about the artist, to be honest with you. This is just one of those songs where I can throw on that opening riff, and people who you thought were never going to stick around at your party or whatever just hit the floor. And that's something that's so important for Song of the Summer, and especially in this like Spotify era where people will be willing to, like, you know, just throw it on shuffle on random to see what they hear, but they'll skip real quick. And that really just grabs you right from the beginning.
Yeah. I think the artist is BB Rexha. I don't know if I'm saying that right, though. Do you know how to say that?
I couldn't even hazard.
Right. I'm just going phonetically, basically.
Yeah. It's so fun and it's sweet. And this is that song that, like, little kids can like and parents can like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's that pop song that comes on country radio. It's the country song that goes on pop radio. It's well positioned for the texture. This is the song for that that relative on Facebook that you unfollowed maybe 2 years ago. When you haven't seen them in 2 years and you don't want to pick a fight, you want to find something you agree on, you'll be like, you know that song? Oh, I like that song.
That song?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what music should do. It should kind of bring us a little together.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, though? And I feel bad for saying this, but it's a little Kid Rock Sheryl Crow picture.
Oh,
it has the
right.
vibe.
The stench, if you will.
Well, that was not a nice thing to say.
It smells like sweat and hairspray. Yeah, you're right.
All right, so certified young person, you get a chance to say one thing about that.
Oh, yeah, I think it's really interesting that this song was put into the mix here. I wasn't really anticipating it. It sounds very different than everything else I've heard from BB Rexha, which I think is kind of refreshing and interesting. I don't think it's the song of the summer, but I do agree that I feel like I could probably bond over this with some people that I wouldn't be able to bond over other things with.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go into a break here, and because we feel that you just can't hear enough of the Carters. Here's a little bit more of that song, the title of which I'm really not entirely comfortable saying on public radio.
I got expensive fabrics. I got expensive habits. He wanna go with me. He likes to roll away. He wanna be with me. He wanna give me that vitamin D. Ice on a mess. Ice style on a mess. You ain't on it. Don't think they own it.
I know it's not really commercial, but there's this really cool song by this electroacoustical collective from Denmark, and it combines this kind of dubstep, plunderphonic recapture of Sugar Sugar by the Archies with, you know what, never mind. Today's show is produced by me, Kyone Wolf, with help from Colin McEnroe, Betsy Kaplan, and the Commissioner, Brendan Sullivan. Amanda Fish is pre-Malone in a post-Malone world. Zandra Ellen has canceled her plan to team up with Calvin Harris. Bill Curry thinks the Carters have changed since the days when they sang Wabash Cannonball. On tomorrow's show, a conversation about the primaries, but fun, but with math. And now, back to Colin.
Take a trip into my garden. I've got so much to show you. The fountains and the waters are begging just to know you. And it's true, baby, I've been saving this for you, baby. Guess it's something like a funfair. Put gas into the motor, and boy, I'll meet you right there. We'll ride the roller coaster, cause it's true, baby. I've been saving this for you, baby. I need you to tell me right before it goes down. Promise me you'll hold my hand if I get scared now. Might tell you to take a second, baby, slow down. You should know I. You should know I'm. Yeah, I bloom just for you. I bloom just for you. Yeah, I bloom just for you. I bloom just for you.
All right, this is our Song of the Summer show. With us is Brendan J. Sullivan, the Commissioner of the Song of the Summer, and in studio, Zandra Ellen and Robin Kanner, writer, designer, co-founder of My Trans Health Living in Brooklyn, New York. Robin, this was one of your picks here. And first of all, let me just say, you know, if the Song of the Summer were just based on what I like, which, as we know, the Song of the Summer is never based on what any one person likes, especially me, but what any one person. This is really just a lovely, uplifting, wonderful song, which if it came on the radio, I would bloom. I would bloom right there in my car.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And need to be repotted immediately. So tell us about it, Robin, and tell us about the artist.
It's a beautiful romantic song. Troye Sivan is just one of the leaders in pop right now. I think, especially like on the internet queer culture, we kind of joke about how twinks are owning the summer. And Troye he's owning the summer. And Bloom is just a beautiful song about falling in love and like being with somebody for the first time and what that feels like. And he even tweeted out like months and months ago, right before the song came out, with a hashtag that just said bops for bottoming. And he just had me. Like, I heard that song and I was like, this is what it felt like to kiss a boy. Like, this is what it felt like. He got it. And it just felt like an anthem for being queer, but also super accessible for people who aren't. It was the one for me.
Yes, I think it's our thread is accessible too.
Yeah, of course.
Which
yeah.
is very important, very important here. So yeah, Brendan, how about this? How about this for you as a DJ?
I love this song. One of the great joys for me as an older DJ now is that my niece is old enough that I can make her, you know, mixtapes, and she makes them for me. This is a song I would put on there for her so that she sees visibility in the community, so that every time there isn't a gay, trans, etc. figure in her life, it's comic relief or,
totally.
You know, any other stereotype. It's just allowing people to have their own real life is just so magical. And to hear it shared and feel like the way you live is special, it is relevant, and it exists, just to feel seen by a song is incredible.
Yeah. Totally.
No, it's a lovely song. Xandra?
Yeah, this is that was my first exposure to this song right here on this show. And I definitely really think it's super nice. I know that a lot of people my age are definitely listening to Troye Sivan and have had our eye on him for a couple years now. So this is a nice way for him to reintroduce himself into the sphere.
I mean, there's a way in which for Song of the Summer, you've got to. I mean, the difference between this and Blurred Lines is that, you know, the most unenlightened person in Indiana can probably get into Blurred Lines somehow. And this might be a little bit of a lift in certain parts of the country, not just because of sexual orientation or anything like that, but just because it really sounds, it has a sophisticated sound that maybe is a little bit more sophisticated than middle America tends to be about stuff like this.
Of course. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, the biggest difference between the two is that Troye wrote the song and Blurred Lines wasn't exactly an original.
No. We're not going to get into the lawsuits here. Troye's probably not going to be in court about this.
Probably not.
So we're speeding through them just to make sure we hit a few. Because the third segment of this show every year, the Song of the Summer show, this is the segment where we allow ourselves to dream a little bit. I mean, look, ultimately, Billboard metrics and stuff like this, it's really going to crunch this stuff up in a certain way and get us to a certain place, whether we want to go there or not. that's sort of how the Song of the Summer works at the end of the day. But here in the third segment, we typically dream a little bit. Maybe we sort of think about the way the world could be as opposed to the way that the world is. And so that's a nice lead into one of the commissioner's picks. This is called Jackie Chan. We'll play a little bit of it and then he'll tell us about it.
She said she too young, don't want no man. So she gonna call her friends, oh, that's a plan. I just saw the sushi from Japan. Now yo, just wanna kick it, Jackie Chan. Drop top, how we rolling down on calling South Beach. Yeah. Look like Kelly rolling, this might be my destiny. Yeah. She want me to eat it, I guess dinner's on me. I got you. Know I got the sauce like a recipe. She just wanna do it for the grand. You know you. She just want this money in my hand. I know I'ma give it to her when she dance, dance, dance. Ay. She gon' catch a Uber out the Calabasas. She said she too young, don't want no man. So she gon' call her friends, now that's a plan. I just saw the sushi from Japan. Now yo, just wanna kick it, Jackie Chan. She said she too young, don't want no man. So she gon' call her friends, now that's a plan.
All right, if you do feel a pre-Malone in a post-Malone world, maybe this song is the solution to that feeling.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Brendan, this might be a good point to mention. One of your theories is the Song of the Summer kind of has to tug at a lot of different parts of it, us, right? Just as the great tech giants divide up our bodies and souls, the Song of the Summer has to put all that together. This kind of does that a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it does. I think a good Song of the Summer needs to make something happen in your bathing suit area. Like whether you're a kid dancing at the pool party or an adult getting some nice summer memories. I mean, this is an incredible song. It's created by Tiesto and another Canadian music producer named Zecco. It also features the singer Preem. And Post Malone, who is just like, there's no reason I can imagine why he's on the charts. I mean, he looks like that friend you see at your college, your high school reunion, and you're like, wow, what happened to that guy?
Yes.
And he's just killing it. There's just something about how he's doing sad rap, right? He's using, taking, I mean, what he's technically doing is taking what we call sad music, minor key tracks, and flowing with that in a very interesting and unique way that is, it's hard to look away.
You know how your car radio, if it's on certain stations, it'll now tell you digitally the title and the song and stuff. Now my car radio just goes, this is another one by Post Malone. It just crawls that across the frequency setting. Robin, react.
I feel good about it. It doesn't change my life, but he's definitely sort of on the charts right now. Post Malone had this interview in GQ recently, which was really kind of fascinating about his genre and his sort of maybe appropriation of hip hop in a lot of ways. But this doesn't feel like that. This feels like a solid pop song that like he got to squeeze in. It doesn't feel like the Song of the Summer to me, but if it came on, I'd jive.
Right. So, but if you were like in the CVS line and you had a really good coupon that was going to expire at the end of the day.
Exactly. Like
you
I wouldn't
would
leave. The yeah, I wouldn't leave the CVS line. I'd leave for the Carters. I would not leave for Post Malone.
All right. So you understand something about yourself. You
exactly.
Know?
I wouldn't leave for Kanye. I'm just going to say that.
Tying it together. All right. Certified Young Person Xandra Ellen, what about this?
Yeah, I think this is a good song. And I agree with that idea that this song sounds a little bit less like Post Malone trying to be a rapper and a little bit more like him trying to be a pop star. And there's something about that that I definitely appreciate. And I also agree that my friends and I always talk about how we think that Post Malone just has the most slappable face in just the whole world.
All right, you just earned that your is... keep with that line alone. Yes. That was
fun. Thieves could never.
Someone's getting taken to lunch.
Right.
That was great.
You did that a long time ago anyway. But all right, so Brendan, I guess one thing that we have to say here as we move towards the end of the show is that all of these things are things we won't necessarily be happy we liked, say, 10 years from now. I think you said this sort of towards the start of the show. But one thing that we have to admit to ourselves about the Song of the Summer is that, you know, I mean, it's going to be the equivalent of I Got a Feeling or something to us.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Black Eyed Peas 10 years from now.
I always think of it like this, like music, pop music, is almost like technology. Like for some reason, we need new pop music, even though you could just listen to Jimi Hendrix all summer and have a great summer.
Mm.
But we need something about this summer that says something different about right now. The nowness of this summer is important. Like in a few years, picking up the Song of the Summer from 2007 feels like picking up the first iPhone from 2007. You're like, what, this? What did you do with this? You know, it's like it has no utility almost. It's like, what, you couldn't watch a video? What did you do? You know. And Song of the Summer, it just has to say something about what's going on right now. And you can't, you know, you can't just like phone that in by recording something and then putting 3 months into album presentation, because a good summer should just be so unpredictable. It should be like summer love. Like you weren't looking for it. You didn't know it was coming. And boom, it hits you and you're smiling and walking around on the beach and having a great time. And you're not thinking of the stress, the life, the school, things that happen in the rest of the year.
All right. So we don't always end this show with consensus, but I think we might have it right now. Brendan J. Sullivan and Robin Kanner and Xandra Ellen. Are we all comfortable with the middle being the Song of the Summer? How good do we feel about this? I know, Brendan, you do.
I like it. I think maybe last summer we also picked another one that we agreed just really hit the numbers and it was working. And, you know, I was proven wrong, certainly.
Well, that was several summers ago. But last summer was Despacito. We were fine.
Oh, we had that.
You know, we couldn't screw that up.
We had to work on the second half of the show with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I'm okay with it. Robin, how are you feeling?
I feel generally okay. I mean, it's a great song. I stuttered to it. I feel really great about it. It doesn't change my life. But I think that's maybe what a summer song is supposed to do. Like, mm-hmm. it's this passive little moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, remember when I listened to that song on the radio and I was doing that thing? That feels like the summer of 18. Like, it feels like that to me.
We're going
to
start playing it right now. But thanks to everybody who helped out today, especially the commissioner and Kyone. And Robin Kanner, so great to meet you from afar. Writer, designer, co-founder of My Trans Health Living in Brooklyn, New York. Zandra Ellen, a star is born. It's all great. It's good. And we're just going to listen to the middle. And I'm going to be at a wedding on Labor Day weekend. And we'll find out how right or wrong we were.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
Quelby from the island of